back. WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the pennant race. My God almighty, what has happened since Luke Jones left us? It must be in the Max Pizza in Wildwood that Luke's there eating that pizza. Like, but if it were that, it wouldn't have, you would have witnessed a parade by now, Luke. But it's a crazy thing. But, you know, there were people blaming it on Baltimore Luke out on the internet that, you know, you disappear and the team, you know, can never lose. And then you show back up and you fall in line right back with the same old hot dogs you ever had in the press box at Camden Yards. And they're winning baseball games. It has been a crazy week and a half. Welcome back. How's your tan, dude? You gained some weight?
Yeah, a couple pounds. Packed away a few pizzas, got some Rays, and followed the Orioles from afar. It's really been, as you said, crazy. And even talking to Ryan Mountcastle after Sunday's 9-5 win, 8th straight win, first time they've done that in a single season. Harken back to the days of Luis Matos and Melvin Mora and Eric Bedard and that 2005 club. Well, before it fell apart later in the summer and Lee Mazzilli was fired, but it's been a lot of fun and it's been a lot of close games, and having followed it not terribly closely, but checking the scores as I'm enjoying a little bit. It didn't start out so great in terms of lose a couple in Seattle, you know, the back-to-back blown saves by Jorge Lopez in Minnesota, and all of a sudden they've lost four straight. You know, they're back to 9 games under 500, and you're starting to say, okay, is this when they lose 12 out of 13? Is this when they go into that stretch where they're 15, 16 games under 500 and all speed ahead toward training camp and the Ravens? But lo and behold, they get back on the horse and won a lot of close games, and they've come from behind and they've done the little things well, really well for the most part, and some timely hitting. It's been fun. And I mean, you look at the 8-game winning streak, you win by margins of what? 2-1-1-1-3-1-1. And then finally, a little more breathing room on Sunday, although the Angels tried to make it somewhat interesting late in the game, but and they're just finding a way to win games. And I alluded to Ryan Mountcastle. He said the vibe right now, and talking to Trey Mancini as well, that they're showing up and they're expecting to win ball games. And they've won a lot of ball games over the last few weeks. And you know, you really go back to when Adley Rutschman arrived, even though he hasn't put up these insane numbers, we know what he's meant for the pitching staff. We've seen it in terms of him going up to pitchers after each half inning and encouraging them as they walk back to the dugout. But you know, they're 27-20 since Adley arrived. And I don't think that's completely a coincidence, even though I don't think it's all because of him either. So they're living right. And they're the opposite of the Angels, who have done nothing but live wrong since about May 15th or so. But it's been a lot of fun. No one expected this, as you mentioned. I don't know how long we can anticipate them playing at this clip, what they've done over the last week and a half, but boy, it's been interesting. And a team that's hovering right around 500 in July, even the most optimistic orange colored glasses type fans, no one expected to see this, especially when you consider this hasn't been a season where everything has gone right by any stretch of the imagination. So really, really fun to watch this baseball team right now. And have to feel good for some of those guys who have done so much losing over these last 3 or 4 years.
And the fans as well, who've done a lot more losing. I've done more losing than Trey Mancini, I assure you. By the way, they're like sort of undefeated since Chicken Palooza began at Royal Farms. I got the new gear out, the gold gear and the Western scene. I kind of sort of dig that. Also, our friends at the Maryland Lottery, we're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour throughout the month of August. We did our final stop for July at Costas the other day. We have election going on. Going to be a lot of political stuff in and around all of this baseball and Orioles Magic Madness. And they're... If you're looking up and saying, as I do, every July 11th, my father passed on July 11th, so it was 30 years ago today as we record this. I lost my dad, but it was also the day before the San Diego All-Star Game and a year before the Orioles All-Star Game, and the All-Star Games were always this week. They backed it up a week, so the Orioles have Like this little run here, I've backed up. I'm planning crab cakes and breweries for the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill and our dear friends at Window Nation. We got all sorts of deals going on. Be telling you about that. I'm getting some new windows this month as well. And Restaurant Association of Maryland. We were over Costas and talking about Restaurant Week and sort of getting out and doing things here. The fact that the Orioles can make this interesting, Luke, that the Orioles can be a part of when I'm in a bar in August at 7 o'clock at night or 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon, whether it's Riva, Maryland, or whether it's Westminster, or whether it's Cambridge, or whether it's Ocean City, that there might be some relevance to what's going on. And I got so many notes here. I could go at it all week with you. We will continue to go at it as they remain in something that feels like a pennant race. But a lot of things have changed here. For some reason, somebody sent me a Louis Aparicio picture sliding into second base in 1964. And I was trying to figure who the second baseman for the Yankees was. So I Googled it up, trying to figure out if Richardson or Boyer or whatever. And I looked at the Yankees won 99 games. The Orioles won 97 and didn't even count. They didn't even count. I mean, they were in third place with 97 wins and you go home. Now it's sort of like the idea that you can squeak into a pennant race, a game under 500, maybe there'll be three games over 500 by the end of the week. And by the time they get to this Yankees and Tampa and these big games, they're going to have to play in July, which this is the organization's first chance to get some peanut vendors, get some people down there, invite people back, pack the place for something other than a Hawaiian shirt and a hat. I mean, this confluence from the 4th of July on, the fact that people were in the stadium, people were getting free stuff, which they love, people were coming downtown and coming downtown after perhaps one of the most gruesome episodes, which happened literally in the shot. If you look here, literally outside of my window with the Squeegee Boy incident, that people coming back downtown, people coming back to the baseball team, coming back to the heartbeat of what time do they play? I'm excited about it. I've seen this all over my social media. Matt Crow's yelling at 9 a.m. I can't wait for the Orioles game to start, right? Like, I haven't seen this type of thing. And there is some Fernando mania and something that the people around here would like to latch onto while Lamar Jackson's putting up I need money memes and doing nothing but throwing long passes on some field that doesn't really mean a whole lot when it comes down to beating the Bengals in November in that way. This is real and it's happening every night. And it's something for, I don't want to say a generation, because they played some decent baseball a decade ago. I mean, I don't ever take that away, but they didn't play July pennant race coming from behind, fresh this, fresh that. They sort of squeaked it in the beginning and then rolled through. They had a year where they rolled through and had a nice one. And in the end, there was a lot of disappointment. This is all of that disappointment. Plus 5 years of totally stinking for me, 30 years of being mistreated, and the Angelos group in general, this is their chance to atone. This is their chance to build something again. And it's sitting there and they have to win. I mean, if they go 6-20 the next month, they're back to where they were, but to have a little Fernando mania in the middle of July when things are a little quiet around here, I'm buying what they're selling. I really am. And it's a fascinating, a sort of natural thing. I think the way this has gone down over the last 2 weeks, that it's not Rutschman hitting 420 and coming up and being Paul Bunyan. You know, it's literally they're winning one run ball games. They're winning games they shouldn't win. They're losing. I mean, they lost a couple of games a few weeks ago when the closer blows saves. Now he's in the All-Star game next week. So, and things are cool. We haven't lost in a couple of weeks. It is amazing that they've righted it the way they have. And now they have a chance to ride it a little bit, whether they make the playoffs or not. Everybody's got a chance. It's not 1964 anymore, right? Like, they are legitimately for now in a pennant race for real.
Yeah. I'm not quite thinking about it in those terms as much as enjoy this ride. And they've played better baseball from the start of the season. I've said that even when there are 10 games under 500, the eyeball tests look different than those who were suffering in 2019 and 20 and 21, where you know you're seeing these stretches. I mean, last year they lost 19 games in a row. Go back to August, where it was, you know, they were threatening the 88 team's record in terms of 21 straight losses. And thinking back to where they were in 2019, Brandon Hyde constantly calling on the likes of Stevie Wilkerson just to finish games, you know, position players pitching because he was out of arms. And so the eyeballs test, you know, from early on this season looked better, even if they weren't winning games at the clip that they've won over the last two and a half weeks. But you've seen that, and they've caught fire here recently. As you mentioned, it's been a lot of very close games. I think it's interesting. You know, great story with Jorge Lopez making the team or making the All-Star team. And, you know, we know about his story a little bit with his 9-year-old son, autoimmune disorders. And, you know, he's had to step away from the team a couple times over the last couple years. You know, good story. You know, he's got a sub-2 ERA as a closer. You know, a couple hiccups earlier this month, no question about that. But it really reflects what you just mentioned. You look at the Orioles right now, and a few weeks ago we were talking about Austin Hayes. He struggled a little bit of late. He's cooled off. Cedric Mullins got off to a slow start. He's heated up of late. We talked about Trey Mancini. But it really hasn't been a year where you look at anyone and say, wow, that guy is having an unbelievable year in a global sense when you're looking around baseball and the way that Mullins was a 30-30 guy last year. You haven't seen any guys like that. I mean, Tyler Wells has been a phenomenal story, but in a league-wide sense, he hasn't put up numbers where you say, well, that guy's a slam dunk to make the All-Star team. It's been a bunch of guys, and I'm going to use a nerdy stat here in a second, wins above replacement, bunch of guys that are kind of in that 1.5, 2 wins above replacement. I mean, good seasons, but nothing overly memorable. And it's just been
a game under 500. You know what I mean? Like it's been a nice week.
Sure,
They're not. I go back to like when I went up to Citi Field, the year they had all the All-Stars, was it, you know, right? Mm-hmm. 13, was that right? No. What year was
it? Yeah, 13. Well, yeah, 2013 at Citi Field, and that was the year, what, Chris Davis and Adam Jones, Chris Tillman made it that year.
I mean,
they had a bunch of guys. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a bunch of guys that were blossoming in a big way. I don't know that. We're still talking about dealing Santander and Mancini at this point, right? Like,
well, and that's where when you were talking about pennant race and look, a game under 500 as they go back out on the road, they go to Chicago this week. You know, they've got some opportunities to continue these winning ways. They're two games back of the final wild card, but they've had to win this many games to get back to 500. Just remember, you know, that you have to have that kind of a stretch just to get to that point. And that's where I do preach a little bit of caution in terms of thinking about it, in terms of making the playoffs, right? In terms of saying,
they do have a different mojo right now.
Like they do. No question about it.
I've watched baseball a long time. I'm not saying 8 in a row. I'm not too high, too low. They have the mojo that
they're
not going to win 67 games this year. They're not going to go in the tank unless something really awful injury wise happens, but there's also no cavalry either. And I always talk about that. I don't know where that comes from because they're not going to be buyers, right? Like there's no chance. I kid around, but there is a point where they haven't spent any money. And I keep going back. You'll talk about what's happening on the field. I'm going to talk about what's happening off the field and saving the franchise and lifting the franchise and lifting it. Because that's where my head is in all of this, to say they've got 2 weeks before they play. When they get back, it won't be 100 million Yankee fans like it usually is. I guess not. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe the hotels are full. But I'm thinking it's not 2007 anymore in regard to all of that. That initiatives that get people downtown, maybe they play 500 ball on the road. Maybe they play 700 ball on the road. It doesn't even matter. They have a chance to sell some enthusiasm. I guess that's what I'm getting at, that I'm enthusiastic. You're enthusiastic. If you've watched, there's a lot of reasons to be enthusiastic. And unless they go 2-11, you know, before they come home or whatever many games, 10 games, 11 games, whatever it is they're going to play. It's less than that because of the All-Star game.
Right, because of the All-Star
six
break.
Or seven games, I'm sorry. So wherever it is that they come back off of this thing, with people excited, because people are excited. And when people are excited, you want them to buy tickets, come down, cheer. I mean, buy beer and buy all that other crap and crap on hot dogs. And like, dude, that ain't going to be on my crab cake tour. I'll tell you that. Maybe the games will be, but I would just say for where they are on enthusiasm. I've never seen anything like this weekend, and I want them. They hate me, and I want them to do well. You know what I mean? They hate each other, these brothers. And I need the city to do well. And this is one chance that hanging in to bring it all together on the broadcast with 98 Rock, with whomever, to get enthusiasm in that direction. This is the first glimmer of that. Don't let it simmer, because to your point, they might go 10-14, and they might just be something else 3 weeks from now. And Lamar will be the biggest story in the city in 2 weeks, either way, right? Kind of, sort of.
Well, I think it goes back to what you just said. They have an opportunity here to sell some hope. And again, if you're going to ask me right now if I think this team's going to secure one of the three wild card spots, I'm going to say no. You know, because that's just how I feel. However,
make sure everybody's noted that it's him, not me, and not Buster only. I just want to point that out.
However, when you're talking about a team who is 500 in mid-July, and we're going to be talking about, I was watching the Sunday night baseball broadcast, Yankees and Red Sox at Fenway Park. They mentioned the Orioles a few different times, talking about how well this club is playing, and talking about Brandon Hyde and some of these young players that are playing well, and this team, you know, just coming together and looking much more formidable in an AL East that, other than the Yankees, who are, just completely running away at a historic clip. You look at the Red Sox, the Rays, and the Blue Jays right now. They're right there. And Seattle has moved into a tie with Toronto, finishing up Sunday's play. But, they're right there in the wild card spots.
Yeah, Orioles, man, you go bloody right the Yankees nose 2 weeks from now at home in front of 38,000 of mostly your own fans, not because you're giving stuff away, although they're probably giving something away. I haven't even looked at what their promotions are. I don't even have their – yeah, I saw it. I was at Nacho Mama's the other day, and they had the old Crown Gasoline. I miss the old font with the little boxes that were kind of wide that said BOS, 735 mm-hmm. in there. And like having a pocket schedule to say, maybe we'll go to the game that weekend. The Yankees are in town. Maybe I'll make a time of it. And then they go and do something magical, right? Like this team, right? Couple runs down late. Everybody's got shirts. Everybody's drunk. High's kites, right? Got to go out in the Baltimore. Ooh, nobody goes to Baltimore except 35,000 people are down there. And then they create Orioles magic in the middle of this. That makes people want to come back downtown, beat the Yankees up a little bit 2 weeks from now. And then there's a real feel. This is the first feeling of belief. Dude, check my pulse. This is me. Okay. I'm starting to believe. Don't talk me out of it.
Well, it's been 5 years since we've been talking about something in these terms. So you're absolutely right in that regard. But my point is, to what you just said, and Buck Showalter used to talk about this a decade ago, when you get that many people to the ballpark, and they had announced 27-8 on Friday night for floppy hats. Saturday night they had just over 32,000 for Hawaiian shirts. And these are long standing promotional nights. Two of the more popular nights that they've had for going back over a decade. I think they've done the Hawaiian shirts well over a decade. It was, Buck always said it was so important on those nights where they'd get more fans. Whether it was a fireworks night, giveaway, whatever, that they'd give them a good show, because they'd come out to the ballpark, and clearly, you don't have to even go back to the beginning of the homestand against the Rangers. They had a couple nights they had announced 7,000 people at the ballpark. So it's not as though this is a full homestand of big crowds, but the point is, you get people downtown, you get them into the ballpark, whether it's a giveaway, whether it's a flash sale that they've been doing online with some of the tickets, whether it's bringing back the 1992 pricing, which they're going to do some of as they do the 30th anniversary celebration next month. You have those opportunities to get people in the ballpark. Give them a good show on top of that. Let them see where Adley Rutschman is and where Ryan Mountcastle is and where Austin Hayes is, and the fact that they're playing good baseball. And even though you mentioned, you were talking about whether they're going to be buyers, which they're not, and I don't think they should be. However, I'll tell you what could serve as a little bit of a semblance of buying. Jordan Westberg and Gunnar Henderson are raking at Triple A Norfolk right now. If there's a weak link on this team from a positional player standpoint, it's certainly the infield. And these guys are guys that profile as potential shortstop, second base. In the case of Henderson, third base or shortstop, Westberg shortstop or more likely second base. Do you perhaps accelerate your timeline a little bit for them One, because they're performing so well at Norfolk. Two, you have a clear need or an opportunity to upgrade some of those spots on the infield. Do you pull the trigger on them a little bit quicker than you would have normally speaking? DL Hall, coming off of his most recent outing at Norfolk, bunch of strikeouts and getting himself back on track after a little bit of a lull there where he had a couple mediocre outings. Could he be someone, which regardless of the fact that they're being more competitive, I think we were going to be talking about that anyway, being their second best pitching prospect behind Grayson Rodriguez, who of course we know is on the shelf. Those are guys, if you're talking about being buyers, and obviously you're not buying anything, it would just be a matter of calling them up. That to me is what you see, and you can talk about Kyle Stowers in the outfield as well. But Mike Elias already said over the weekend, he's going to look at this from a global perspective. Everything you just mentioned, this is not a culmination. This is a beginning, for this team. The goal is not to be 43-44 and hanging around the wild card race in mid-July. The goal is to be much better than that, but we're starting to see the progress at the major league level. Does that mean I think the Orioles should trade Trey Mancini for whatever they can get just because he's going to become a free agent? No. I think it's very much a case of be a little more selective in what you're trying to do. And even though I don't think it's a case where they need to, by all means, keep this team together as it's presently constructed. Because again, what are you building? It's still something that's around 500 right now. The goal isn't to be what the Orioles were in 2012 through 16. They didn't get to a World Series. They didn't win a pennant. I want
this for them to scrap their asses into September 27th and we're week three of the Ravens and they have a chance to make the playoffs and people care about them and are watching every night and are engaged and building the legend of Ryan Mountcastle and Adley Rutschman. And in the same way that, disappointing years that I had in 80 and 81 and 82, you know what I mean? Like things happen. And but I think when you have a chance at Fernando Mania, you go at it, and they have a chance at it right now. It's hot. They can't lose the middle of next week, right? I mean, they're going to win unless Lopez gets hurt in the All-Star game, right? They have one guy going. He's an incredible story. He's probably going to throw a couple pitches, right? Probably. And, they'll have a chance to be part of that story. And, I don't know how relevant the Major League Baseball All-Star game is, but I know here in Baltimore, the baseball team has been a zero. They've been irrelevant in July for as long, even when they were decent 7-8 years ago, they weren't like 38,000 people at the ballpark glued in every night. They had one year where they were really good, but this is a different kind, a real race, a real, maybe they make it, maybe they don't, maybe they should buy, maybe they should sell. Well, they're young, but they're in it now. And if you're in it now, you go now. And if the kids think that they're going to get thrown out or mom's going to die or they have to get rid of the team or whatever, maybe they'll have a little urgency to win. You know what I mean? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where their situation is, but I know it's not every day you have a chance. And if they do go slobber knock the Yankees a little bit and some of the kids come up and next thing you know, they have played above 500 for a long stretch now. So this isn't sort of an 8 games, in a row. They've been better over the last 6 weeks. How much better do they have to be? They don't have to be as good as the Yankees. They have to be as good as the worst wild card team. And that's, I don't know. It sort of feels like mid-major basketball to me a little bit. You know what I mean? Feels like it's anybody's ball.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. If the Yankees just disappeared and there were four teams in the AL East, I mean, they're 4.5 back of Boston, who's in second place. I mean, if the Orioles were in the AL Central, they'd be 4.5 back. If they're in the NL Central, they'd be 5 back. I mean, it
but
really
you have to
is.
Play these games, and that's what gets people excited. Is sure. A bunch of games.
Sure. Well, and that's where going back to what we were talking about with attendance and just selling hope. I mean, continue to have giveaways, continue to have flash sales, they should be having a flash sale for Jorge Lopez. Some kind of, call it a closer deal or closeout deal or something like that. They need to continue to do those things because, as we even saw in 2012, 2014, they got to a point where they were back to a middle of the pack in the majors in terms of attendance. You need to continue to sell and sell hope and there's effort that's involved there. So
okay, take a shirt like this. If you take a shirt like this, if you're watching out on the internet, you'll see the old Nasty Nestor giveaway. Yeah. They need some of this kind of enthusiasm,
Well, and you know, this is more anecdotal, but I showed up Sunday. It was the first time I'd been at the ballpark since probably about mid-June, because you know they had been on the road for a time before I went on vacation. And you know, first of all, I
it's not like you're going to plan your vacation around the Orioles, right?
No, right, right. You know? No, but I turned on MLB Network Radio for a little bit, and they were talking about the Orioles. And I showed up at the ballpark, and look, I mean, they didn't have a huge crowd on Sunday. It's announced 19,000, you know, better than some other Sunday afternoons that I've seen this year, but nothing special compared
to bases, right?
But compared to Friday or Saturday night, it wasn't an impressive crowd, let's say. But you know, I looked around, and having covered this team since 2018, when you know the Buck Duquette era officially came to an end, and waved goodbye to Manny Machado and Adam Jones and all those guys. Being at the ballpark, even on nights where there'd been better crowds, you look out into the crowd and what do you see? Ripken shirts, Murray shirts, Adam Jones shirts, Manny Machado shirts, JJ Hardy shirts. You know, you'd see an occasional Mancini shirt. And I don't want to be disrespectful to Trey. You'd see a few more Cedric Mullins shirts last year with the great season he had going 30-30, first time in Orioles history. But one thing I noticed on Sunday, I started seeing more Adley Rutschman shirts, and he's kind of, I'm seeing some others, but you know, that's something, you know, saw more of the Adley Rutschman jersey t-shirts, you know, some really sharp gray ones with the Baltimore script across the front, and seeing a little more gear that's catered towards this present day lineup and this present day team. And, you know, not a ton, but seeing more of that, and you still see the Ripken shirts and you still see the Brooks jerseys and all that.
Luke, but there's nobody passive at the ballpark anymore, right? Like if you're coming down there, it's hot as hell. It ain't cheap. You're coming into the city, and like the people that are there really want to be there. I mean, sure. You know, and when they're playing like this, I'm getting all the video from inside, right? I'm getting videos from fans everywhere. I mean, I see it all day, all night. Anybody thinks that I'm divorced from the Orioles, you're just not watching my timeline. You know what I mean? Like, I see views of the ballpark on how many people are there, and I saw it illuminated over the weekend, and I saw this wild enthusiasm of hugs, high fives, stuff we couldn't even touch each other 2 years ago. Let's keep that in mind, too. There's this physical exuberance and noise. Everyone has mentioned how loud it is, that they haven't been anywhere where it's been loud like that, like Memorial Stadium in my youth. I think about that. And, you know, those are the kinds of things that bring people back. It's that kind of memory that all those people had a memory. Now, how do you get them back at the Yankees game? And how do you grow it? Because that's the enthusiasm you need. I don't know that they have 45,000 people that are going to pack the place ever and make it like that if it's not a playoff game, but I don't know. Stranger things have happened, dude. 5 weeks from now, pinch me. They might be playing some huge game, like, right, against the Red Sox, and maybe they hit the thing out. Maybe they figure it out. You know what I mean? Maybe they get 40,000 people there on a Friday night just because of baseball. I'd love that, but I'm starting to see that there is what's left of the fan base. And I'll say that because I've been here a long time. And I remember when, you know, your dad was alive and my, you know, there was a lot of people that were engaged with the team. The people that are left that are engaged with the team are coming out and they're having some level of bliss that I have not seen in recent times, that maybe because of the plague, wherever it is, how much they love the Orioles, how long they've waited, that this is juicy this time around. And I don't, you know, I want to see them ride it out. I want to see them have a fun summer and not just go about it and say, well, we could have been. I think this is a real chance for them to build. Whether they win or not, it's a chance for them to build.
Well, and you have to have something to build. And that's where it's starting. You start to look around and you still see where the farm system is and how many guys still haven't debuted and how many guys are in the pipeline and they're getting ready to draft first overall coming up here in a few days. And instead of focusing on that, there's a major league product right now that is relevant and interesting. Now, how relevant that's going to continue to be throughout the summer, we'll see. As you pointed out, I mean, there are three wild card spots now. They're mathematically, they're right there, and they have a shot. But at the same time, Mike Elias is still looking at this in a global big picture sense. And I think that's the right call here. This is not about trying to maximize 2022. This is about a beginning of hopefully opening up a competitive window that is even longer than what it was under the Dan Duquette, Buck Showalter era. And I think when you look at the farm system and you look at what they have right now, and regardless of what happens at the trade deadline, they're ascending. And that doesn't mean that it's going to happen overnight. That doesn't mean it's perfectly linear and it's just going to be, you're climbing a mountain and you're not going to have any hiccups along the way, but it's fun. And it's the first time in five or six years, 17, they kind of had that last gasp effort in August and early September, and then they went in the tank completely. But you have to go back to 16. You have to go back to 2014, to have this kind of enthusiasm. And for this to happen on the heels of 5 years of total misery, on the heels of the pandemic, and not even being allowed to have anyone in the ballpark a couple years ago, people are excited. And I think that it's important for the Orioles to capitalize on that. So more giveaways, more discounts, more flash sales, different things like that to get people to the ballpark. And oh yeah, they get there. It's not just a trinket or a t-shirt or a bobblehead or whatever. It's, you get to watch Adley Rutschman and you get to watch Ryan Mountcastle and you get to watch Austin Hayes and Tyler Wells and Cedric Mullins. And maybe we'll see Gunnar Henderson or Jordan Westberg or DL Hall here in the coming weeks. So it's fun. I've said this for a while now. You could see that with the farm system, with the young talent moving in the right direction, they still have a long way to go. They're still going to hit a rough patch at some point, because I still look at the pitching, specifically the starting pitching and where they are losing John Means. Grayson Rodriguez still isn't throwing in Sarasota. I mean, so there's no one coming to help other than potentially DL Hall. And he's going to be on an innings limit given where he's been over the last year or so with some of his injury issue last year. But it's ascending. Now, how high that mountain is going to be, how high they can climb, remains to be seen. And a lot of that's going to come back to ownership and payroll in the coming months and years. But the talent's there, and you're starting to really see it at the major league level. And boy, it's a lot more fun, a lot more interesting than it's been here in Baltimore for a long, long time. And Orioles fans deserve that. It's been quite a task to try to remain engaged with this product at the major league level for the last 5 years. So no matter how long this current hot stretch lasts, feel good for Orioles fans. And the biggest thing I'll say, there's more coming, whether it's the next few weeks or whether talking about the next few years. I think there's a potential there for a lot of excitement and good baseball to continue here in Baltimore. What more can you ask for after you're talking about these 110 loss plus seasons that they've had here in recent times?
Luke, I'm going to begin my Baltimore sports writing career with a new column. It's going to be a letter to Lou and John. Don't F this up. You know what I mean? Like, literally, I think that's sort of the tenor I'm having with this. I can't blame it on the old man. Don't screw this up. Get your brand right while you have a chance. Invite people like me back, the people who won't go back. There's a lot of people like me that aren't back that would like to come back. But this is the chance. This is the chance to make everybody feel welcome and come back. So I'll be writing a lot about that. Also be writing a lot about crab cakes and beer, because I'm going to be doing 31 crab cakes and 31 beer. It's hard to believe. You mentioned 2005. That was like 17 seasons ago with the great Lee Mazzilli and Rafael Palmeiro. We're talking about history of 31 years, 31 crab cakes. I'll be going through all that through the month of August. All brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I've got the Show Me $10,000 cards. We'll be giving these away throughout August all over the community. We're also going to be doing some shows, going east, going west, having fun. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation, as well as Goodwill Industries and the Restaurant Association of Maryland. We had to wrap it up at Costas last week. We're getting ready for the All-Star Game. We're getting ready for training camp, getting ready for an orange pennant race. And we're going to talk about Lamar Jackson as well. If you hear political stuff all week, because we got an election next week, hope that everybody's participating in the political process around here. Certainly I intend to as well. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Chicken Palooza 2022 and the undefeated Orioles and Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.